Okay, here we go. Review from this morning. Somebody said here recently, two people told me about it, you don't need the Bible to tell people about God. So I'm dealing with that thing right there, that whole concept. Because I know the person that said it, and it's such a backward step, it's a scary thing. It makes me wonder about salvation. It makes me wonder about reprobatable mind. I mean, can you get to that thing like somebody had mentioned there, Sam, you had mentioned that stuff. And I just have some questions. Do we need to put it away? Are you saying you need to put it away forever type of a thing? Are you scaring people away with your Bible? Is that the problem? And we have to realize, I gave you scripture this morning. I've almost got the notes done. We have to have scriptural authority. And Romans chapter 3, verse 4 said it all for the whole sermon. We've got that book to tell us that what we are saying is true because we're saying what God said. And if somebody challenges us for what we believe, we just say, this is what God teaches. That is our authority. Romans 3, 4. So instead of printing off that first half of that verse, God beat you all, every man a liar, all men liars or whatever, look at the second half of that verse. That's the key. That gives us the strength, the solid, the justifiable of what we say is what God said, and God is not a liar. And the second half, I said this a bunch of times, the second half is what we do believe if we believe according to the rightly divided King James, Paul following Jesus Christ, risen Savior Bible, then they can say anything they want. We're right as far as the Bible goes. That's the key verse. Then there's some other verses and all that stuff, and I like Romans 3:21, 3:22 through 26, where he says, but now, we don't have to deal with the judgment of God, but now we're talking about God's righteousness made manifest. That's the issue today. Sure, God's judgment is there. Hell is existing. Not a problem. It's there. Lake of Fire, Revelation 20. I'm sure all that stuff's there. But you ever wonder why Paul doesn't mention the word hell? Because Paul's ministry is to tell people about the righteousness of God being being manifest today through the risen Savior. Paul is our apostle. Everything else is outdated, out in the past, and it's there to learn, but it's not there to follow. It's just, isn't that amazing? I mean, God's judgment will still be there. God's judgment is going to be based on Paul's writings. Isn't that amazing? Hell still exists. You still go to hell when you die without Christ. Not a problem. It's still there. Paul says, we know the terror of the Lord. What's the terror of the Lord? His wrath. Hell. Lake of fire. Sure, it's all there. But I tell you, there's such a marked difference in this thing that I wonder if any of us have gone far enough to the Paul side to tell people about the goodness of God. The righteousness of God. It says they're manifest. That's where it's been brought out. It's there. And as soon as the Gentiles are done with it, God's going to take what we have left out of here and into the tribulation. Thus comes back God's judgment again. So yes, we read the Old Testament, we read the Gospels, so we can find out what God's judgment was and will be. But for us today, let's learn the goodness of God. That'll lead us to do right, lead us to repentance. That'll change our lives. And I'm telling you, people don't want to do it. I wish I could be, who have I got on there tonight? Can I be really honest with my church family here? I'll tell you what's going on back there. It just tears me up. We started a church. Oh, stop it. We're preaching the goodness of God. And people back there are rejecting it. They're having it deceived about it. And then we got this guy that comes along and says, we don't need our Bibles anymore. What's with that? Oh, I tell you, it just stirs me up. Stirs me up. Okay. Yeah, piece. How about a piece of strawberry pie? Maybe that would help. Food is always good for me when I'm stressed. I gained like 15 pounds when my wife left. See what I do? I need to quit doing that. So we have an authority. Where is the power in our testimony? Is it our testimony? If we read those verses in Timothy and Thessalonians and Philemon, every one of those verses says that our testimony isn't just a mouth testimony. Our lives have changed. Every one of those three verses, 1 Timothy 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, and Philemon 5 and 6, it's about our lives have changed. And we have the authority of a Bible to support why we're not dressing immodestly, why we're not being loud as women, why the men are doing the right thing for the family for a change, making some good decisions, why we're not getting ourselves into debt, why we're not going places that we shouldn't go. All the stuff that Paul preaches, not because we have to, but the righteousness of God was made manifest. We have His righteousness imputed to us. We don't have to fear His judgment. That's the law days. And yes, the law will show us that we're sinners, but Man, if you see the righteousness of God and it's available to you, who needs to be told you're a sinner? You know you are. And it's because you've done something wrong. It's because you're of Adam. We all know that. People out there know they're messing up. Oh, it's just amazing what where this thing is headed. So, yeah, we need the book, sir. You need to witness to that book. And I'll tell you right now, maybe this will just get off my chest. Who's on there so far tonight? What'll just get it off my chest is the reason people don't want the Bible because their lives aren't changing. And they got to get rid of that Bible because that Bible tells them to change their life. And they won't do it. I know this person hasn't done it. And that's what this is all about. So a real honest, good preacher, like it was back there in Tucci, you say what you have to say because you know what's going on in the families. That's why the church has gone the way it's gone. They don't want to hear that. How many of us want to hear it? Then we talked this morning about the increasing of Christianity being powerless. Is it the fault of the book? Is it our fault? Do we need to compromise with everybody? Do we need to have an uncompromising love like this person does with their agape church? Are we supposed to have uncompromising love? Paul doesn't teach that. Christ had uncompromising love to us. We're not going to imitate Christ. We need to follow Christ. And Christ tells us, listen, yes, you can love people the best, as much as possible, have peace with everybody. But when they're doing something wrong, you're supposed to step aside. If you can deal with it and you can be part of them, that's okay. But to partake in the works of darkness, which is what all these churches are doing, which is what all our families are doing, because they want to get people to come to church. They want to get people to like them again. They want to have friends. They want to have a family. They don't want all this stuff. That's why we are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're probably all guilty. Where's our power in our lives to help us make our changes? We want this magic Jesus to get in and make the changes for us? Or do we read this book and get convinced that it's the right thing to do and then stand on it and take the hits where they come? And yet Paul doesn't just say be a jerk about it. He says have long-suffering, peace, mercy, prayer, tears, patience, all that stuff. Sure, we have those things. But he also tells us to reprove, rebuke. You've heard me say that before. So music is a power in people's lives. I was driving to the house today thinking about all the denominational crowd that's around here. And I popped on the radio to see what's going on because we got a huge storm blowing in again to see if we get any storm warnings out. And here's just country music. It's just everywhere out here. And I just think, you know, if people are so tired of church, which I think a lot of people are, I think people see the churches are, there's nothing happening other than their card parties and their circles and their little potlucks, you know, and all the little fellowshipy stuff, everybody getting together and having a great old time. But they know something's dead in their church, and it's God, because God has never been there. If he was, he's left, because the people that had him left, I guess. I don't know what to say. So they've got music. And music can get people going. It can have the spiritual touch to it. It can have the religious element and its fleshy stuff. I just see more and more how music has got to be the tool of the devil today to trick us into thinking that we're just to boggle our minds with noise. And it's in the churches. Anyway, participating in works of darkness. Music and worshiping with other people. Backing off the preaching. Is this what we have to do today to get rid of this Bible stuff? You know, let's quit talking with authority. Sure, God is a liar. Every man's a liar. God is true, and every man a liar. Sure, that's true. But let's not look to his book. That's true. Let's just go out there with our little lying testimonies and see if we can't be something for somebody else. That's what this is. And then you got people whining because God's not blessing them. God's not blessing the church. God's not. Maybe he's chastising everybody. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, then we talked about why today is not easy. All the Bibles that are around, and nobody's interested in Bible anyway. People are following people. They're liars. That's Jude. I talked about that before. That's Jude 16. Take it, have a person's advantage. You're following a person. And these people are seeking gain. These people are wrong dividers. They're profane and vain babblers. They're ministers of righteousness, but just the wrong righteousness. They're following denominational teachings. Forget about the Bible. And the flesh today is becoming very religious. Religious is becoming very fleshy. Kind of goes in a circle there. The music, the worship, the entertainment, the lost people coming to church, supposedly. Let's get the town to come to church. That kind of, let's go out there and play ball with them. Let's go out there and go to the activities. Let's go to July 4th. Let's go to the games. Let's go to the concerts. Let's go to all this stuff. Let them know that we're human too. And please come with us because, oh, God is so good to us. Right. I know the people. They're just fakes and a bunch of liars. They're just trying to build up a church and get money back into that place. All people want is church. They don't want the truth. They don't want to do anything in their homes, and the kids are going to destroy. Just be quiet, relax, okay. And really, bottom line, this whole thing is just preparing for the Antichrist. We know that. Flesh, worship, Acts chapter 2 talks about it. Revelation, 2 Thessalonians. It's all happening. It's all happening. Are there any of you out there that don't know that the health law that they passed, this new health bill, has in there the police force, the national police force, and also has in there the wording to make everybody take a mark? So they got the national police force to enforce taking a mark, and it's already written in law. People just haven't made a big thing about it yet. Do we know that that exists today? That's where we are. And then I got down here, love of money, love of pleasures, more than lovers of God. We're more concerned about fashions, styles, sports, music, special effects on movies and TV, entertainment, education, a wrong education. They get a degree because they're making you do that sort of a thing. And it all takes money. And we got to have that money to have what we want. Then lastly, we talked about the fact that we've also been part of the folly. People can't find God because they've been part of the folly of religion. God's not in there. God is not going to answer any of those verses in prayer or in our desires in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or first part of Acts, or Hebrews to Jude. He's not going to honor those because this isn't the time. So people are part of that, so they get mad at God. It says in Corinthians, he talks about mad at God, Thessalonians. Really, they're mad at God. No blessings from this God. Where is this God at? I've heard so many people close to me, very close to me, have asked the question, where is God in our lives? I just want to ask them, what do you expect out of God? What do you want out of God? Have you read your Bible? Do you know what God has done for you? Do you know what God has done to you? And you're whining because God didn't get you a new car, or he let you buy a house that's got some kind of a major catastrophe to it, or you're sick. What do you expect out of God to complain about God with what he's done for you? It's amazing. People know there's no power in prayer, so they throw out God. Well, maybe they got the whole prayer concept wrong. Anyway, so there's that. Then last we talked about part of the reason people don't want to have anything to do with the Bible, because here we are, living like we're living, going backwards, swimming, immodest, mouthy, loud, drinking. I know now some of Christian people from back somewhere that are back into drinking again. It's just social tipping. It's okay. And we got to do stuff like getting back into sports. Sports is moving in like a tsunami. The music is going sour. Families are falling apart. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to tell everybody else about the risen Savior. Oh, how nice. They're trying to tell everybody else about God. And they show them a Bible. Well, people are tired of them. No, not people are tired of the Bible. People are tired of you being a fake. And they know that. Find somebody who lives what they believe is a rarity today. Now, we're not perfect. I know that. We all got our issues in our flesh and that sort of a thing. But outward things that are supposed to change in our lives to please God based on Paul's teachings, where's that at? If people don't see that stuff, you got nothing to tell them. You can't have a guy stand there with a little beer in one hand and a little cup in one hand and a cigarette going out the other one telling people to follow the Savior, the risen Savior through Paul. You can't go to church once in a while and tell people you need to be in church. I tell you, I could go down a list a mile long, but it won't do any good. That's not the point. Let's look tonight at, I come with comments here. Yes, we're guilty of trying to go, our families and our parents and our sisters and our brothers and our friends and our family, they're guilty of trying to trip us up to go back. What scares me is most of us don't see when we're going backwards. Little by little by little by little. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and we don't even know when it's happening. If we were to step back and look back how much we changed in the last year, all of us, we'd probably be shocked. Maybe we'd be overjoyed to think, man, I've come a long ways. But you watch. This world is going to start tripping us up one leavenous little piece at a time. What is one leaven called? Just a leaven? A little grain or something? I don't know. So tonight, after all that, and you can hear somebody justify why they're doing what they're doing. It's okay. I mean, I was a little strong last year, 3 years ago. We all do that. We can justify why we did what we did. Well, you know, it was a good game. I just had to watch instead of come to church. Or, the special effects, they were marvelous. I don't believe in Avatar. Of course I don't follow Avatar around. But I had to watch it, and the special effects, oh, man, they were marvelous. Weren't they just marvelous? Now, these little creatures with tails and Indian things look like little modern snaky Spocks or something. Oh, wasn't that cute? Yeah, but don't forget, evil communication is going to corrupt you. You know, here's something else I'm thinking. I'm just winging so far tonight, I guess. Evil communication, corrupt good manners. Do you know that when we start spouting off our filthy language, that can get us into a bad attitude, get us into, it can hurt us? I'm thinking about that a lot. You start letting her rip, and it affects us. So that it's just the scriptures. You know, those scriptures can tell us something new every time. When God's ready for us to learn something, we need to learn it. And we got people wanting to throw the Bible out. Let's not scare people away with our Bible. Let's be a Bible church, but let's not flaunt the Bible in people's faces. Well, who's flaunting the Bible in people's faces? Don't we love to tell people about the risen Savior, what He's done to us? And you want to go out there and play ball with them just to get them to come to church? What kind of a flake is that? Man, I'll tell you, I better be careful here. I'm checking the list who's there. You know? But that's where they're all doing it. Listen, I've been in New York. They've done it. I know where they're at today. I've been in Las Vegas. They've done it. I've been in Idaho. They've done it. I've been in Ohio. And that didn't even get off the ground. Some lady didn't want that to happen. And where else have I been? South Dakota years ago. That didn't happen. I know all these famous evangelists and preachers. They're all supporting the Great Commission today. Yeah, it's happening, folks. It's happening all over. And don't think you're not capable of tripping up yourself. You got to stay strong for each other. And it's happening back in Washington. There you go. Okay. Here we go. And I'll tell you what. I'm teaching public school little kindergarten kids, and you can't have a better time with little kindergarten kids who can't hold a button and move their hand at the same time. It's pretty funny. I wish I could show you some of the stuff these little kids are doing. Put me in high school, I'll commit suicide. But elementary, it's a lot of fun. Okay, let's look at tonight now. That was a long ramble, wasn't it? Ohio Steve. Uh-oh. One of Ohio Steve is from the Ohio gang. Well, fine. Here we go. Tonight we're going to look at the same thing. Why do people want to put the Bible aside for all this other junk? Because they think they're smarter than God or something. Why would that be? Because we know that the increase is of who? God's the one that does the increasing. We plant, we water. We know that verse, those verses. God gets the increase. Okay, and for years I've asked myself, all these pastors, okay, if we're supposed to live in the Laodicean Church Age, which I don't believe we are. I think we're very close to it, but the Laodicean Church Age is a tribulation. We're in the Philadelphian Church Age. But if things are that bad, and the apostasy is going down that fast, why do these pastors think they can come up with an increase? Where's this increase going to come if everything's falling apart? So, if God's not giving the increase because nobody's interested, we know that, then I guess we can do it ourselves without God. So let's go to Bible college. Let's learn how to start a church. Let's learn how to preach. Let's go to a sermon. Let's go to a preaching class. You know, I've never been to a preaching class ever. Oh, I bet you probably recognized that, didn't you? You know, I'm not a professional preacher. I'm not even a preacher anymore. Nobody pays me for this. Well, there's a few guys out there support us, and I appreciate that because we need the money for the computer stuff and everything. But I don't know how to do this stuff. When I went to the church in Tushy, the first couple of weeks I was there to be a pastor, I thought, well, how hard is this going to be? I'll just read my Bible, and I'll teach them what I read in my Bible. And they'll realize that it's from the Bible, because they're King James guys already, and they'll go, oh, that's good. I guess I'll do that in my life. That's what I thought. I mean, can you say the word green? You know, I invented green. Naive. Did not realize that my first issue was going to be women when I got into the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 9, where your woman is like a horse or is she like a jackass? I mean, take your pick. That's what they are today. So, and it went downhill from that point on, except while we were going downhill, I was going uphill because I was realizing my Bible was what it was, and I just preached. We had a great time. Some of us did. And those of us that did aren't there anymore. And those of us, some of us that did, shouldn't be there anymore. But so let's not get rid of this Bible. Let's get into this Bible more. That's where the power of God is at. That's the magic that Jesus is in your heart now, and you're going to love everybody unconditionally, and God's going to bless you for it. That's not the power of God. So we've got this increase that we're supposed to, that we want. No, God's in charge of the increase. 1 Timothy 6, I think it's right around 5, 6, 7, 8, right, and it talks about these modern reprobated destitute of truth preachers and people think that the gain is godliness. So if there's no gain, then there's no godliness. Then you're not doing right. But if there's gain, because see, God does the increase, so if you get an increase, then God is in it. But if God is not in it, you're not getting increase, we better do something to get this increase. There we come with our sports. There we come with our music. There we come with our shorter sermons. There we come with our lack of standards. There we are with letting your piano player wear a mini skirt and sexy boots and all this kind of stuff. And here's where you get into all sorts of crazy stuff. You don't put your foot down for anything. You got kids running the ship. You got kids running the homes. You got kids running the church. You don't dare say anything. Because you need the people. That's your increase. No, we manipulate the increase today. If there's an increase today, it's because we manipulated it. I think I just said that. See, I never have been in a preacher class. The teacher said, don't repeat yourself in your sermons. You don't have to talk so loud. Are you angry or something? So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at some things that we try to do to make this increase. And I'm going to show you how the Bible, this is the job of the Bible. And the very, very thing that God wants us to do with the Bible to get that increase that He would give to us if it's going to be there at all, is going to come from that Bible. Or it's not going to come at all. Unless you manipulate it and you get yourself a church full of lost people. That's just called religion. That's just called a game. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. What do we see in Acts chapter 2? Obviously a lot of things in Acts chapter 2. The one I see the most is in verse 47. I just unplugged something here. Who knows what it is? Whatever it was, it's now plugged in again. Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 47, isn't it? Having favor with all the people. Is that what that says? I'm checking, having you guys check it out for me. So that's what we're doing. We're gonna still try to have favor with everybody. Well, it's not that we're going to go out of our way to make them mad. There's a bunch of those that do that because you preach the judgment of God and that just makes people mad. They enjoy making people mad. Like Ruckman says, if I hadn't offended at least five people in my sermon, I haven't done my job. That's not right, Dr. Ruckman. That is wrong. That is not a scriptural thing according to Paul at all. We're not supposed to offend people. People will be offended, but we don't need to go out of our way to offend them. So one of the things people are doing is Acts chapter 2, trying to have favor with all the people. Maybe I can be their coach. Maybe I can get involved in the community. Maybe I can be their music teacher. I tried that back in Rapid City. I tried to be a band director for all the homeschool kids. NIV, ASV, RSV, TV, all that stuff. That didn't work. We all tried this kind of stuff. Okay, so we try to find friendship. We try to bring people to increase based on friendship. Unconditional love. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let's see what that was. I kind of forgot what kind of notes I wrote down. 12, verse 9. And Acts chapter 12, what? Acts chapter 12, verse 9, what is that all about here? Unconditional God, love, Romans 12, 9. I don't know, that's not any verse that I want in there. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true. So that's nothing. Maybe 13, 9? No, how about 11, 9? No, whatever. Unconditional love, gospel versus Paul, Romans 12, 9. Oh, well. So you get into the Gospels, and you've got this unconditional love. You get into Paul, and you do the best you can with it, and you got to rebuke and reprove if necessary. So we'll go out there and have unconditional. Anybody can come to this church. Anybody can come to that church. But they're not going to want to stay. You know, I was always happy to have somebody come and visit the church. That was fine. And I never wanted to know who was bringing family. I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't want to ever know that somebody was bringing your Uncle Frank to church. I just wanted to... Oh, we got visitors. Well, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, what I was going to do, and see what happens. But if we have an unconditional love, they're all welcome to come and stay. See, I was happy when people came to visit, but I was really happy when they came back the second time. I was really happy when they came back the third time. We didn't have unconditional love, and people could come, but they're going to hear what they needed to hear. So, anyway, so unconditional love, if people want to have increase, unconditional love, go for it. There you go. Reasoning. I think this verse is right. Look at Mark 8:16. Well, let's just sit down. Let's just reason with people. Maybe I can get them to want to understand about, you know, we have a gold standard problem. We have environmental issues. We have the mark coming around. All these things out of Revelation and signs of the times and all this kind of stuff. And maybe I can just reason with somebody that they need to wise up and look at this, look at God a little bit. So look at Mark 8:16. These are Matthew, Mark, Luke, okay, Mark 8:16. These are the disciples. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." Remember the story? They fed everybody but themselves. Then they're out of bread. Jesus said, "What are you doing?" And they reasoned among themselves. See, they came up with a reason. He warned, take heed in verse 15, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they say, "It is because we have no bread." What is that? So they're willing to go along with the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod because they have no bread? They reasoned among themselves. There's another one here. It's Acts chapter 28. Acts 28. Well, I tell you, I love this Bible because it just knocks us all around. Acts 8:28, verse 29, I think it is. And when sent these words that he was going to go off with the Gentiles, they will hear it, he says in verse 28. And he said in verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. They justified leaving. They reasoned themselves out of the truth. We got people doing that all over the place, just reasoning themselves out of this Bible. This guy could come up with reasoning why he shouldn't be witnessing to people with his Bible. Yeah, I'll tell you why you shouldn't be witnessing with your Bible, because you haven't changed your life and these people know it. And if you whip that Bible out, you've got to do something different in your life. And you're not going to do it. So I better get rid of that Bible. I can still be the Christian. I can still tell people about God. Right. Yeah, tell people about how you treat your family. Tell people how you are. Go ahead and do that kind of a thing. You won't dare do that. Get rid of that Bible, you're off the hook. So reasoning is out of the question. Do you hear yourself reasoning sometimes why you're doing this, why you watch this, why you're going here, why you're going to do this? You can reason amongst yourself. It says reason in your heart. You can justify it to yourself. And God's not going to chastise you. God's going to let you do it. Judgment seat of Christ comes along. You may have to reap what you sow down here on earth. Of course you will. Unless you can get away with it. But as far as manipulating this increase, let's get rid of this Bible and I can make things happen. I've done that. We all have done that. I can sit down in a church service and I can play the piano in such a manner, I can have people coming up to the altar to cry. I mean, is that what we want? We want crying invitations? I can do that. I've done that before. A little bit of "until then," to me, "until then" means something to me. But if somebody else is out there seeing the pianist cry and the other people crying, and we can get that person to cry and come up there and pretend they get saved. I mean, it's an emotional thing. We can do that with music. So, why get rid of the Bible? We can do it ourselves. That's what we're talking about. Let's look here at look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Let's look to the world for wisdom. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware. Well, there's a verse for you. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So let's go to the world's wisdom. This church wisdom, this Bible stuff, isn't working. The church isn't growing. We're in debt. We need money. I need something in my life. So let's get this Bible out of the way, and maybe I can find him. Maybe I can find it and manipulate this stuff and make it work. Well, let's go to the world here. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Everybody's bringing in fountains. Everybody's bringing in coffee shops. Everybody's getting involved in church sports, but doing it for years. Everybody's playing with other churches they don't even believe in, but we have unconditional love. All this stuff. It's just amazing. Let's just get rid of the Bible. We can have a good time. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this here about this worldly wisdom stuff. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We can't reason with people. We can't show them the ways of the world. We can't show them God through the ways of the world. It doesn't work. If you can get it to work, then you're not coming up with real Christians. You're coming up with religion. You're coming up with an organization. You're coming up with fakes, with hypocrites. You're coming up with people with another Jesus, according to Paul. You're not doing it with your Bible. Go ahead. We can tell people about God. We don't need to take our Bible with us. I can't believe I heard that from who I heard it from. And I know other people feel the same way, because people are just tossing their Bible out and they're changing their lives. Clothes are changing. Attitudes are changing. Jobs are changing. Behaviors are changing. Children are being made happy again, so they have a happy time with Jesus. Sunday schools are going to some of the garbagiest garbage you can come up with just to keep the little boys and girls happy with Jesus, because they invite them into their heart, and God will bless them as they get older. Yeah, you threw the Bible out, didn't you, there, Pastor? You had to. Yeah, but the kids can't read anyway. Well, yeah, I know about that. Trust me. No Kid Left Behind is destroying America. And then lastly here, preaching. Well, we'll just have some good preaching. We all need good preaching. Remember, I did a sermon back in Tushy a long time ago. Preaching has replaced the Word of God. Doesn't matter what they're preaching. Come and hear this guy preach. He's a good preacher. This guy draws. This guy shouts. This guy sings. Oh, he just melts your heart. And then he preaches. He doesn't preach. He just reads a story to you, whatever. So, no, it's what you preach. Not just preaching. When Paul talks about the preaching of the cross involves Christ on the cross and resurrected from the cross, and what happened on the cross is the Savior rose after, and that's what we're supposed to be preaching. It's not the preaching, it's what's being preached. Preach the word, he says in Timothy, in season and out of season. Out of season. Are you going to grow a crop out of season? No. But if you want to, you can get a bunch of fake corn stalks, take them out there and dig them in the ground and stick them in there, and you can have the best looking crop in the world, but it's a fake crop. But we are out of season, no doubt, because people don't want to hear about the goodness of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, I think it is. And they just don't want it. And when God's done with that, and the Gentile nation doesn't want it, you're going to cut off that nation, and we're out of here. I'm okay with that. But until then, what's it going to be like? Okay, so we got that stuff. Now, what about this Bible? Now, come on, this is stuff we already know about. We know Psalms 12, 6, and 7, it's preserved. We know that. But wait a minute. Everybody out there, their Bible doesn't say that. It says that God will preserve His people. And only the King James Bible says it's His words that will be preserved. That's it. Only place right there. So we're not even talking oranges and apples. How do we say that? We're talking oranges and apples with other people. You got to show them your King James Bible. Boom, you're dead in the water right there. So let's not take them the Bible, and let's just all agree on being born again. Let's all agree on church. Let's all agree on come worship with us. Let's change that music, piano player, a little bit, because it's just no fun anymore. It's slow, it's straight, and let's do something different to it. You over there in the other kind of instrument, why don't you kind of twingle those little strings a little bit? Let's get a little rocking going. Let's get a little hillbilly southern, because after all, we all know God is from the South. We know that. We know in 2 Timothy 3:16 that this Bible was inspired. The Scriptures. Not, what does it say in NIV? How does it say that thing? It says, how does that go? 2 Timothy 3, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. The NIV says all Scripture given by inspiration is there for correction stuff. So that doesn't mean that the whole Bible is inspired the way the NIV says it. So God breathed this book to those guys, 1611. He had these guys write what He wanted them to write. It wasn't just because they were smart and knew a lot of languages. These guys didn't put this together. God had to put this together. Every time you see a word or a verse in italics, that reminds me that God was into this thing, because those guys had no manuscripts, no pieces, no nothing, no papyruses, no fragments, no nothing. And what they put in that Bible has now mostly been proven, and that's where God had to tell them what to say. That's the way it got started. Now, we also know and believe without a shadow of a doubt, although this guy that said that stuff about let's get rid of our Bible when we witness to people, supposedly believes in this, 1 Corinthians 13:10. That which is perfect is come. Perfect means finished, completed, it's done. And all that was done in part, which is when God gave them stuff, the little that they can have, it's now in that book. Do we have it all? No, we don't have it all. I've never said we have it all. I believe this Bible's got everything in there we need to know, and then a whole bunch more. Because didn't you read something and you learn something and then later on you learn more? Why didn't you get that the first time? This is a living book. You want to win somebody to the Lord? You got to give them Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will convict that person's little heart and their little mind and fight the flesh, and the scriptures will work that guy over. Not you. Playing ball with somebody else is not going to do anything but get you more members in your club. And as soon as you make them mad because you didn't pitch to their kid right, they're gone anyway. Been there. Then you got to wear uniforms. They're going to be immodest. What are you doing putting a girl in sports? Don't get me started on that. We've already got me started. Immodest teaches them to be aggressive. They shouldn't have a man coach if they're even going to be doing this kind of stuff. And they don't need to be doing their thing in front of all these people with their arms flailing. And it's just wrong. Well, there's nothing wrong with the little girl. Yes, there is. You're setting them in cement. So when they get older, you're going to tell them, oh, you can't wear that. Why not? Well, you can't do that now. Well, I've been wearing this way all my life. I can't change now. We're destroying our little children when they're little. Do you care? Sure you care. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10. Now get up here and look at this thing here. Romans chapter 10. And I'll show you something here. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Verse 14. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Okay, does it stop there with a preacher? No. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. The gospel of peace, not a physical kingdom of God peace, a kingdom of heaven peace, but a kingdom of God peace to the Holy Spirit it talks about. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then. That so then is very important, grammar students. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing what? By the word of God. What does it say in Amos? There's going to be a famine today in the tribulation. Hearing, that's going to be the famine. We're getting closer, aren't we? And we got Bible-believing, Paul-following, King James-only people who are too chicken to change their life and too selfish and too prideful to change their lives, saying, okay, let's get rid of the Bible then. Let's get rid of hearing the scriptures, hearing the words, says right there, the word of God. Let's give them your testimony instead. Let's give them some reasoning instead. Let's give them some uncompromising love. Let me be a butterfly Christian. Flitter around everywhere, just love everybody. That's not the right way. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. What is this word of God? It's the gospel of, it's the word of, what's this? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It's the word of truth. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it's the word of truth. Verse 13, I'm sorry. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So what do we got here? We got something you have to hear, you have something that you have to believe, and then there's somebody you have to trust. And actually, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, do you know that you're trusting the Bible? Then they always say that you say, well, your Bible is your salvation. You worship your Bible. No, I don't. But when I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I'm believing what he said is going to be true. I'm trusting him. I believe him. What he tells me in that King James rightly divided Bible through Paul is true. I'm trusting his words that what he told me is true. I'm trusting the fact that he will give me his righteousness and he will take my sins away. I'm trusting that he said that he believes that, and that he meant that. I'm trusting that he will not impute sin to me. I'm trusting him. I'm not just believing on him that he's Jesus Messiah. That's a gospel thing. We're past that. I believe this Bible is the Word of God. Does that make me a Christian? No. I've got to hear what that thing says. I've got to believe what it says. I've got to believe what he told me through Paul. And I've got to trust what he says is right. So I'm trusting him. And these people want to witness to people without the Bible? Without the Word of truth? I never taught them that. Where are they coming up with this stuff? I know what I taught them. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do. And the only reason they have to do that is because it just pleases God, that's all. But when it affects other people, it affects grandkids and grandchildren and sons and daughters and even wives and marriages. Come on, men. Come on, people. Get some strength to you. Get into that Bible. Get some guts going here. And I'm not attained, just like Paul hadn't attained yet. But some of the stuff is like more than obvious. You're not going to find me going to a jazz concert. I'm teaching a public school. I'm not going to do half the stuff they want you to do. I'm not going to do that for the sake of my testimony. They don't even know my testimony yet. It's between me and God. I don't want to teach that stuff. I don't want to go there. We had a jazz band come through the school last week. Was I interested? Not for a second. I probably could have gone. I would have shown more interest in the music program. I'm not going to do that. I've got the kids that want to play a rock little thing in their elementary band book. I won't do it. And they know it. So when I come into the room, bump, 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 ba-da-dum, they want to do that stuff. I say, hey, it's time to stop. I'll do what I can to stop what I can that's wrong. There are all these girls in rodeos, all these guys are, you know, I can't help all that stuff. I can't stop all that stuff. But I can be the Christian I'm supposed to be when it's really hard to do that. And you're all in the same boat out there with Floyd's and Peter at the grocery stuff there, Sam. You're going to be counting everybody's money one of these days, lost people, saved people. Brian, you're handling the people you're trying to deal with. That lady ever showed up again and harassed you and Adriana yet? You know where they're coming from. It's a war. I'll tell you, it's a war. And Paul says, be a good soldier. Endure the hardness. And it isn't just that it's hard. It's there's a hardness out there. They don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. That word of truth in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that word of truth is what? It's the gospel of our salvation. So let's not bring our Bible with us to talk to somebody about God when that Bible is actually the gospel of this person's salvation. How stupid is this? We lose friends with our Bible. We lose friends dressing right. We feel strange around people. Nobody else in the room or the building is dressed like you are. You know what? You need to be okay with that. You need to be happy with that. I don't mean prideful or arrogant or conceited, but you need to have a peace. Remember what it says in Titus. Remember what Paul says. Titus, when Titus shows up, he's going to give those people joy. Because when Titus shows up, these people find out they're doing right. So when you read the book of Titus, you better be happy that you're dressed right, talking right, trying to do things right, trying to be the wife, the husband, trying to be the young person, knowing the battles that come along. That's okay, because you're doing right. And that's okay. Let's not do wrong so we can get more friends. Let's not do wrong so we can find somebody in our life that we want. Let's not do wrong so we can have more people come to church. Let's not do wrong. Let's not even back off a notch or two. It's between you and God. How many of us forget that this whole thing is about us and God anyway? So, yeah, let's deny the people the gospel of their salvation, the word of truth, and let's just give them our opinion. Let's just teach them our reasoning. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. That way you can keep on doing what you're doing and not feel guilty about it. That's all that is. I wish somebody would preach back there and tell people what's going on here. But anyway, Brian and Adriana, no, I forgot what I asked. Why would you answer no? I wonder what I asked. No. Oh, the lady, she's bugging you. Okay. I think that's what it was. And then let's finish this thing up here with 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, how's the time? We're doing all right here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God, and I like that word, therefore, because that refers us back to the previous chapter. More grammar. That's why we should have taken grammar in school better than we did, which is why they don't teach grammar in schools anymore, because it helps you understand your King James Bible. I've got a third grade class. I taught grammar twice in my music class with them. They loved every bit of it. Diagramming this, because that's about the only level I can teach for grammar is third, fourth, fifth grade level. And I got them excited about grammar. And the teacher said to me, boy, you wonder what you taught them, but the kids really want to hear some more grammar. And I didn't even have to tell them. It helps them understand their Bible better because they'd have no idea what I'm talking about. I just told them grammar is an exciting thing. A couple diagrams, a few things, helped them see the differences and had a good time. But anyway, whatever. What's I got to do with anything? Nothing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, which, by the way, he will use Paul's teaching, Paul's gospel, to do that. Preach the word, he says in verse 2. He doesn't say throw it out. He doesn't say toss in your reasoning. He doesn't say have unconditional love. He doesn't say make friends with everybody. I mean, sure, we need to be trying to do those things, but he doesn't make that our point. He says don't go to worldly wisdom and psychology. He says preach the word. Be instant, that means now. In season, out of season. Oh, and here we go. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. I mean, don't be a jerk. Don't stand out in front of the Mormon Church tabernacle wearing a Satan costume and just yelling at people like you're some rejected actor and thinking that's going to win anybody. With long-suffering and doctrine. How are you going to talk to somebody about God if you don't talk to them doctrinally? Where's your doctrine going to come from? Your Bible. Duh. We're living in days where the hearing of the Word of God is going into famine level here pretty quick. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doesn't say they won't. They won't choose. No, they won't. They will not. They're choosing. But after their own lusts, TV, special effects, movies, food, entertainment, sports, you name it, that's their lusts, appeals to their flesh. Fashion, I'm going to go to church, this is Easter, I'm going to wear a new dress, new hat, new nylons, new tie. I don't know. It's just appealing to our lusts of our flesh. So heap to themselves teachers. See, people. They're looking for people there. Heap to themselves, doesn't say teachings, it says teachers. They will find somebody that'll scratch their little itchy ears. That's what they're looking for. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What's the truth? Thy word is truth. Rightly divided word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. The risen Savior, Paul. King James Bible. Oh, let's not take that with us. Let's just tell people about God. And he'll be turned unto fables. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, which is hard. You all know that. Do the work of an evangelist. So, there we go. You know, but it sums up like this. That'll be done here. Without your King James Bible in your testimony towards other people, doesn't matter that you've changed. It doesn't matter that you're dressed modestly. You know, there's lost people out there that dress more modestly than Christians. Isn't that weird? There's people out there that are better, good people than Christians. Well, they think they're going to go to heaven because of it. Okay, whatever. But they're better people than Christians, who are real Christian. There's men that are better men, stronger men. There's ladies that are quiet. They know their place. I've learned around here in Kenoka that when I'm trying to be friendly, you know, which is not my nature. And as I drive people, I give them a little. In South Dakota, I've learned this. In South Dakota, I think it's in Washington, too, if I remember right. But in South Dakota especially, South Dakota is known for the finger salute. And it's not what you think. It's not what you're thinking. So don't go there. You got your hand on your steering wheel, and you flip up that first finger. And that's all you do. If you wave, you're not from South Dakota. They got this pegged already. And I think it's like that back in Washington. But out here, South Dakota's famous for that, the finger wave. I've had the finger wave before, but not the South Dakota type. So what's my point? I've done that with people. Then I realize when they get closer that it was a lady. And you know what? I think the majority of women around here don't wave back. They don't do that little South Dakota thing. I think some of these ladies are very conservative. They know they don't need to be waving at some guy. And I believe they shouldn't. Any more than I should be waving at all these ladies. Hi, lady. I don't do that. So anyway, my point is this. There are people that are lost. They got better morals, better standards, better modesty, better quietness, better children, better homes, and better families than Christians. So that doesn't mean anything to people. What means a lot to people is when you're dressing modestly, you're not loud, you're not doing this, you're not going to there, because they know that's your belief as a Christian, because that's what the Bible teaches. So if we witness to people, or if we do something without the King James Bible, we're just having an opinion just like everybody else. And sorry to say, the people I know, a lot of people I know, that say that they have the Bible there, they don't have the testimony. And people watch that, and that's probably one of the reasons why people don't want the Bible today, because they don't see those people that say they've got the Bible, the King James, rightly divided Paul Bible, still puffing away, still immodest, still loud, still horrible children, grumpy, crying, complaining, no joy, family's a disaster. I could give you a list a mile long, 10 miles long. Isn't that sad? And now those very people are being preached and taught to get, not let's reason with people. And this guy says, we can talk to people about God without our Bible. No, you can't. You can drop some comments, but you better have some scriptures. You better be a Bible guy. Otherwise, you're just as guilty as in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, 12, 13, about that famine that's coming. You're guilty of contributing to that famine. And your church is going to grow. I want you to know that. You toss out this Bible, I guarantee your church will grow. You'll have people come into that church that you wouldn't have had a year ago because it was so Bible-oriented. And they're going to come because of the preacher, not because of the preaching. They're going to be looking for those teachers that'll scratch their little itches. This is where it's going. And what are you going to do about it? Nothing. But you better stand for yourself. You better take some of those hits that are coming. It's hard, isn't it? I'm not any better at it than anybody else. I'm tired of a lot of the battle. Wouldn't take much for me to give this up. But I know there's people out there still hearing it, still wanting to be preached at, still wanting to be taught. And I'm not itching anybody. I'm not scratching anybody's itching ears. I'm just trying to teach while I have an opportunity to teach it. When the computers die, I'll die. Unless there's money to fix them up, maybe Obama will stop it. Who knows? Maybe you guys will get tired of it because you're just tired of hearing the same old, same old. Well, that's because the same old is the same old, same old. We'll get back into Jeremiah. We'll get back into why people are quitting because they're quitting everywhere. Don't you quit. The list isn't as long as it should be tonight. It wasn't as long this morning as it used to be. What are we all? We're all so busy. I realize that. I know people back there can't come here all the time. No, it's hard. But stay with it. I've got my wars too. I wish I could tell you some of my wars. They're serious. But I don't dare. We just need to pray for each other. We still need to pray and be there for everybody. And I'll see you Wednesday. Amen? Amen.